in Milwaukee.
All right, Tausch, you had a couple of things that you passed along. You and Jesse can fight it out on whether we're going to discuss them. But I do want to talk briefly because I am still fatigued. That has not changed. But now we're getting to the window where an extension makes a little bit more sense. Everyone is wrapping up their off-season vacations, right? Matt LaFleur, Goody, personnel folks, Russ Ball. Jordan Love finished his Italian vacation, got engaged, came back stateside, had his youth football camp with former high school teammate and former Packers teammate Chris Barnes over the weekend. And talking with Chewy on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, he had no basis for this other than his spidey sense, but he thought, I think things are going to get done. Do you feel the same way?
Yes.
Because we're basically 13 days out from the start of training camp, and it would make sense that if they're going to get it done before they start practices, now's around the time they should actually start heating up.
Yeah, I would think from just listening to Jordan, listening to Brian Gutekunst, I don't think they're probably that far off. I think if this always comes back to structure and how the Packers like structuring things, that's going to be something Jordan and his team are going to push back hard against. I think they know it's going to need to be $55, $56 million a year. I think everybody kind of has come to grips with this is where the market's at. Now, where it's not is you have to prove year in and year out, whether it's roster bonuses, whatever that looks like guaranteed money-wise. And if Jordan looks at it and says, well, I want 60% of my contract guaranteed, then you come down to length of contract and everything else. So I just think it makes, as I've said this entire offseason, it makes too much sense to not do it. I think the Packers have always been very much ahead of the curve when it comes to quarterbacks and not letting them get to the last year of a deal. How many times has that happened in Brett's or in Aaron's career? Did they get to the last year of his deal? Mm-hmm. Never. Now, they had more of a proven track record, but Aaron really didn't when they gave him his first deal.
No, like 7 games in. Right.
And I'm convinced had they done a fifth-year option instead of the contract extension, which I still don't fully understand why. If Green Bay felt like they wanted to give him an extension, they couldn't. I don't get that, but whatever. That's the rule. So they would have gotten a deal done with him last year, probably around $50 million, and everybody would be like, what a deal. Wow. These guys are getting this. So it ended up being a great thing for Jordan to not get that fifth-year option because I think it's going to end up getting him a lot more money in his bank account. And I still believe that when all said and done, if Jordan Love continues on the trajectory that he is, people are going to look at this in 2 and 3 years and say, man, the Packers are smart to get this done. And the question will be, I think at this point, what is today, the 8th of July? Is that right? 8th or 9th?
Today is the 8th.
So yes. The 8th of July, you have 13 days until the 22nd, if my math is correct. 12 days, 13, whatever it is. That's when training camp opens.
First practice is 2 weeks from today.
Weeks from today. We're going to be up there at the Trio, dream drive the whole bit, Jesse just told me. So when we look at that to me, if there is no deal done then you start wondering, well, what's the holdup? But up until that, I think this little two-week window that you're talking about right now, one of these shows or one of our shows on our air is going to be, hit the breaking news, and that's what will end up happening. I think you're going to see that pop before and then celebrate it and then, hey, get to work now. It just makes too much sense. Otherwise, you're going to be Dak Prescott in it, and how's that working out for you? If you're at the Dallas Cowboys,
you know you're right as usual. However, here's the question that I have for you: Trevor Lawrence got $142 million guaranteed.
But what does that mean? Because Russell Wilson got a ton guaranteed with Denver, so, until they didn't pay him that.
No, you're 1,000% right. So it includes the signing bonus, Some of the salaries are guaranteed, and then some option bonuses in 2026 and 2027. Now, the March 2027 one, based on what I'm reading here, is $46 million.
So that's guaranteed there, if they want to pay him it.
Right, and that's my point, is that so he not only got less guaranteed money than Jared Goff, but there's still something hinky about some of that guaranteed money that you could weasel your way out of it the way the Broncos did with
Russell Wilson. It's not weaseling your way out of it.
You're right. It's structured in a way that you won't have to pay
and
it.
So my
it's not really guaranteed.
My guess is that Jordan and his team are going to want some pelts on the wall. They're going to want to be the highest paid quarterback in the history of the league for however long that's going to go. Average per year, whatever it might be. And the Packers will happily give you that if
they don't have to guarantee as much money.
If they don't have to give all the guarantees, and if Jordan is not playing at the level they feel like, they can get out from under it sooner rather than later. That's what this comes down to, and the Packers have been great at it.
And Tausch, my point to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning is you can take your $56 million average, and I don't need that. If I'm Jordan Love's agent, I want the maximum number of guaranteed, like truly guaranteed money. And if I average 54, but I get a hell of a lot more guaranteed than Trevor Lawrence, that's what I'm selling. That's what I'm spinning. That's what I'm proud
of. Yeah, but that's not what the Packers want.
And to my point, then if you're in the negotiations and the Packers don't want that, and you do, maybe it's not as much of a no-brainer, because I think if I'm in Jordan Love's shoes, I want guaranteed money far more than I want the bragging rights of $56.5 million a year.
Yeah, but you know what Jordan Love wants? Jordan Love's going to want both.
Sure.
And I think it was really interesting, and David Bakhtiari, I thought, was really open and transparent about his deal before he signed it. And I think if the Packers had a do-over, they would have waited and saw how things shook out. It's timing and whatnot. But he mentioned, I needed to be the highest paid guy in the league. I don't think Jordan Love's at that point in his life where that's on the top of his list. He wants to make sure he can pay for his wedding and that he is going to be taken care of. He's going to be the starting quarterback for the foreseeable future with the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
I don't know his motivations, but I do know that alpha male competitors, they want it all. And they're going to push.
They want those bragging rights.
It's not even bragging rights. It's respect. It's not about bragging. It's not about saying, I'm the highest paid. It's about, hey, man, I had a pretty good last year, and this is where I'm at. I need to be paid in this manner. And it's about setting it up for the next guy so that the money keeps, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats type of deal. Mm-hmm. So there's a bunch of things at play. But the big thing is, he has not gotten a monster payday yet. The Packers know that.
Correct.
And so there's just a lot of things that are indicating to me this will get done, because I think the Packers know it's in their best interest to do it, and it is for Jordan as well. And that's the scenario you're hoping for when you're dealing with this partnership. And I'll be shocked if we don't have one of these mornings where we're either discussing what happened in the afternoon the day before, or Jesse hammers that sounder and boom, monster deal, 5 years at 56 a year. And then we'll analyze the how much of it's guaranteed and whatnot before training camp opens.
Well, one thing you and Jordan Love have in common is that you're both great ambassadors for American family.
Indeed, we're excited. You know, he came down to the AmFam Championship, and now he is a big part of AmFam. And folks, it's that time of the year again. Nobody tailgates like Brewers fans. But what if I told you that American Family Insurance can help take your tailgating to the next level? Enter the Superfan Tailgate Sweepstakes for an all-expenses-paid day at American Family Field with your own personal chef for you and five friends. You get field-level tickets, gift cards to some of your favorite spots at the stadium. Head to amfam.com/brewer to enter today. No purchase is necessary. Dream fearlessly. Insure carefully.
Tausch did have a really interesting question that he sent over while he was trying to fix soccer and improve the fireworks schedule for the non-4th of July weekends in the winter. And I want to get to that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
And I saw the Long Gone Summer 30 for 30 documentary. He's interviewed in that. He's everywhere. Catman's the best. But I don't... He made a point about Caleb Williams that I don't think we need to make today, but I feel like it may have prompted a thought for you, or maybe you just had this independently. But Caleb Williams is playing right away. They are not going to sit him behind Badgent or whatever his name is. Tyler Badgent, is that it, Jesse?
Jesse has no idea.
It is bad. Tyson Badgent, I wanted to say.
Tyson, maybe, yeah. My point is that the Tausch plan remains the smart plan. It's not the Packers plan. It's not because the Packers have had Hall of Famers that have allowed them to do what they've done. It's not like they're that much smarter than the rest of the league.
I'm starting to think they might be. But, I mean, what do you want? How do you say that they're not?
Because if they had a quarterback that sucked,
they're not Hall of Fame quarterbacks if they get thrown into the fire right away.
No.
Okay.
I mean, I agree with you, but we'll get to that. Hold on.
Oh, the Bears signed Brett Rippon.
That's good for the Bears. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Does that deserve the breaking news sounder?
If I got Brett Rippon as my quarterback, I'm starting Jordan Love in 2020. Okay, so that might...
Right, and that's my point.
What is?
Is that we're crediting them for having Rodgers sit and having Love sit. Because, right, those are the only two, right? Like, they kind of started that way after
Mikowski
trading for Favre.
Favre sat.
He breaks his ankle, and Favre's in there.
Yep.
Right? They didn't play Favre so they could let Mark Brunell sit. They played Favre because they believed he was the guy. And so this idea that the Packers have it figured out, if Aaron Rodgers had sucked, let's say the 2020 and 2021 seasons look like his 2022 season instead of MVP seasons, do you think they're still sitting Love, or do you think they're moving on from him sooner?
Moving on.
Right. So, and maybe Jordan Love's not as good. He wasn't that good in the one game he did play. I know we all blamed Matt LaFleur's game plan, apparently. But my point is that your plan of at least waiting till Thanksgiving is really smart because it's more realistic, right? No one is sitting their first-round draft pick quarterback for 3 years.
I agree. So, Jason, that wasn't the cap one that I was real interested in. I don't know what else Cap said. This is the hatch plan. That hatch and I, as we were talking soccer.
You were hatching it?
After having a Coors Light. I'm talking with Hatch, and he asked me what I thought was a great question. And that's when I told him, thank you for your service. It's about blank in time. It's been 4 years. If Jordan Love was going to be thrown into the scenario that Caleb Williams is, where is Jordan Love today?
And what did you tell him?
I thought that he'd be a backup quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I know you'd like me to disagree with you, but now I will say in 2020, he would have had Devontae Adams for those two seasons, which maybe like Sterling Sharp did for Favre, helps at least with some of the inconsistency. But again, for those of us that watched him in training camp,
that's what
2020,
I'm basing it off of.
It would have been bad.
Yeah.
It would have been bad.
And how he would have been able to bounce back, and how that's the part that would have
been
real.
Talk about adversity.
Yes, so that was super intriguing to me. And that, again, Caleb Williams should be better prepared to go right away than Jordan was. Jordan was not drafted to go right away. The Packers'
Correct.
Plan is smarter than the Bears' plan. And that's why the Packers have had better quarterback play over the last 35 years, because, yes, they've gotten quote-unquote lucky, but they've made their own luck, because had they been throwing just Jordan Love into... By the way, if something went haywire in 2020, Jordan Love wasn't going to play. I don't even know. Who was their backup? Jordan Love never suited up.
Tim Boyle was the number
Tim
two
Tim Boyle would have played. So
Correct.
That's the difference. And yes, it's 25 picks later, but they're both first-round picks.
Correct.
So that's the difference. And... The answer to that question we'll never know because it never played itself out. But there is not a doubt in my mind the benefits that Jordan Love had by sitting and not taking all that shrapnel on is now a very confident, good quarterback with the potential to be great. I can't homer this, but man, is he getting $56 million a year, or is he scrambling for a contract to stay in the league, a la Mitch Trubisky?
Like Mitch Trubisky.
I don't know. But I would certainly say the odds would be more Trubisky than it would be getting $56 million a year.
So they did go to an NFC Championship game in 2020, and they did have a number one overall seed in 2021 with Aaron Rodgers winning MVPs. Now, my frustration with football is that we always talk about it being the ultimate team sport. You believe that as well, right?
No doubt.
And yet we treat it then when we have conversations about it like it's not the ultimate team sport and the quarterback, it's all about the quarterback and everything else. How good do you think those teams are if they were number one seed and NFC Championship game berth with Rodgers playing at an MVP level? If Love is playing at quarterback instead,
borderline playoff.
What are the pieces?
Borderline playoff. 6, 7, 8 seeds. You know, 8, 9 looking out. They wouldn't have been god awful, but I said, and you laughed at me in 2023 that they could win a division title with Jordan Love, and I think 2 years in they maybe could have. His rookie year, no. His second year, probably no. But I thought that third year, because of the division and how it was made up, Jordan Love needed to grow. He needed to be kind of cared for the way that he was because he was not a ready-made NFL guy. Now, the thing we won't know is how he would have adjusted at that point in his life, not at this point in his life.
Correct.
We know what he does. We know how he's wired. And that's what makes me think, well, who knows? Maybe he could have done it. But well, the odds would say that that would not have been the case.
All right, so let me. I know you didn't play quarterback in the NFL, but you did play 11 years, and you did play well as a rookie. So help me understand this, because again, having watched him during training camp, and there are two pieces of evidence here that would indicate that there was not that faith in the building if Aaron Rodgers wasn't even playing at an NFL MVP level. One, Tim Boyle being the primary backup during the 2020 season after Love was drafted. He did not even get to put his jersey on a game day all season. Second, after the back-to-back MVP seasons and after the first round or the first game playoff exit against the 49ers, the Packers chose to give Aaron Rodgers another contract extension instead of moving to Love. And I know that would have been a very difficult move after back-to-back MVPs, but they gave him $50 million a year because they didn't think Love was ready either. That had to be part of their mathematical equation, correct?
Correct.
So having those two pieces in your pocket, you played 11 years in the NFL. You played well as a rookie. Had you not, what would have happened to your confidence? Because the guy that they replaced you with in 2009, Alan Barber, was not very good. And he played poorly enough that they came crawling back to you and said, Tausch, we need you. Mellon, we need you. Get your suit on. We need you. Alan Barber, in fairness to him, recovered as an offensive lineman in the NFL and had a pretty decent career with the Philadelphia Eagles, if I remember correctly. Maybe bounced around a little bit as well. But how devastating is it? Let's say Jordan Love has to play. Rodgers is traded or Rodgers suffers a career-ending injury, whatever it is, and Love has to play right away and plays poorly. How devastating is it to a young player to play poorly and to have your confidence destroyed and then having to figure out a way to rebuild it?
Yeah, it is incredibly difficult, and it's not just your own mentals where I don't know if I can do this. Boy, I had this bad game. I had this bad stretch, and I was replaced. It's also how your team views you. And will you get the same amount of opportunities that you had before? Because, as I've said numerous times, this league comes at you fast. And once they think maybe he's not our guy, they start looking a lot more diligently at who is the next guy. And then that compounds it more, and it forces you to even be better than where you were. So I think it's easy to say, well, we figured this out, but that's why sometimes they'll say it's a change of scenery or a new coaching staff will be good for you as well, because it gets you a reset. Because there's a lot of scars that won't heal, both from your own side and from the team side, that makes it, I don't know if I can trust or believe that this is the guy to handle this position on my football team. And then that breeds more insecurity amongst yourself, and how it's a hard enough job as it is. When you start adding all those other layers, it can suffocate you. And that's the part that some guys can handle it, but I can assure you most dudes in the NFL can't. And now with the added media, the added stuff that goes into it, it's 100 times worse than it was even in the early 2000s.
All right. I have one last follow-up. I want to get to it coming up after you tell us, because you mentioned alpha dogs, and it had me thinking about Rodgers and how his career started, and I want to parallel those and ask you about that coming up. But after you tell us about what Fortrea has going on.
Well, Fortrea, they got a ton of different studies. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. Find what one works for you. We talk a lot about some of the bigger body mass index between 18 and 34. That's kind of where we're at. But there are all kinds of different studies. And if you were looking for extra spending cash, you want to get a boat, you want to join more meat raffles, you want to get to Brazil for that Packer game, here you go. Healthy adults ages 18 to 65, BMI 18 to 34. Study one overnight stay, 10 follow-up visits with three phoners. You can grab yourself $6,805 for your time and participation. If you refer a friend, another $400 per qualified referral. Great things. Another one, study one stay between 6 and 15 nights. Compensation, $4,306 to $8,428 with a referral of a friend, another $500 per qualified referral. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
I'll ask my follow-up to Tausch, and then we will switch gears. We got a little need it or don't need it scheduled to be played later in the program. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. And I'm not
afraid. All right, Tausch, one last follow-up on this. Jordan Love thrust into the lineup like Caleb Williams is going to be questioned, and that is this. He used the phrase alpha dogs earlier about wanting to be the highest paid at their position. Alpha dogs also don't like to admit weakness. And when Aaron Rodgers would be asked about comparing his career to Alex Smith's, right? How had you gone first overall to the 49ers and then had five different coordinators in 6 years, he would always say he believed he would have had the exact same career. Because that's what a competitor does. That's what somebody who is a believer in himself does. Do you think that's the case with him? Because what we're saying is that if that had been done to Jordan Love, we don't think that would have been the case, that he'd have the career that he appears to be off to now.
No, I mean, again...
And do people want to admit that?
Well, no, nobody wants to admit that, but I think Aaron Rodgers knows that stability and having everybody kind of working with you and figuring things out rather than constantly changing things because it wasn't good enough for a new coach, it's much better to have stability when you're trying to grow into your career. Aaron Rodgers was going to be a great quarterback regardless of who drafted him. If Jordan Love went into a scenario where he didn't have to play right away and kind of played it out the way it has, if it would have been here or Kansas City or other places that are good at developing quarterbacks, they'd be fine. But you don't know that. And that's why Eli Manning and his dad said, no, we're not going there, because it does matter. Organizational stability and how it's structured matters. Now, you could say, well, why have the Giants stunk since then? It's a fair question. I don't have an answer for you on that. You're going to go through ebbs and valleys and swales and squalls and all the other stuff. But eventually, if your talent is great and you don't lose that confidence in yourself, you're going to find a way to get it done. It's whether or not those opportunities are still going to be there.
Right.
That's the part that that's the great unknown, the great variable in these scenarios that you don't know. But I wouldn't think if you asked Jordan Love that same question, he'd say, absolutely, I'd be fine. Is that the truth? I don't know.
I didn't like that.
You didn't like what?
The sound effect choice.
That was yucky.
It's a lot of hemming and hawing. That's what that sound
is
effect
is.
That's
what that sounds like?
Hemming and hawing?
Hemming and hawing?
That's what hemming and hawing sounds like?
Yeah.
I feel like hemming and hawing is a... That's more hemming and hawing.
Your hem could be my haw.
It could be. You're the jam to my jelly roll. All right, we will move on from hemming and hawing.
You think people really... I mean, you have to understand that the circumstances that you get put in matter.
No doubt. Yeah, I understand that. You understand that. Like, would you be willing to admit that if you'd have gotten put into a less desirable situation, that you would not have had your
I've
career
said it a thousand times.
Had? I know that was a rhetorical question. You, I think,
but
though, are different.
In fairness, though, too, I think most of us, when you're done, you realize it. In real time, you think you can do everything.
That's
but
fair.
Even then, you still know. I've seen guys that are like, "Boy, he's a good player. Why has he bounced around to three teams?"
Right.
And some of it could be attitude, but some of it could also just be luck. Like, a lot of this is circumstantial in the NFL. And, oh, great. If Green Bay drafts a stud offensive tackle in my third year and he comes out and he's just dominant. Like, if they draft Joe Thomas, let's say Joe Thomas would have been an 04, 05. I've had that conversation with people in the Packers building, and they're like, yeah, you'd have been gone. Like, that's how this works. So a lot of it is who comes at the wrong time or the right time, the system that you're in. And there is a lot of luck and fortune that go into the scenario if you're one of those 85% of the NFL that's replaceable. Again, if you're in that 15%, you're going to play for every team and you're going to be down. You're going to be awesome. And it doesn't matter what system. I'm going to find it. I am the system. I ain't a system. I'm not a system. Most of the guys I played with weren't systems. They were players within a system.
Sure.
There were a few that were system players. And you know what? They would have been a system player here and in Baltimore and Tennessee. It doesn't matter. That wasn't me.
Who told you that if we'd have gotten Joe Thomas, you'd have been gone? What? Well, how does that even come up? Like, how does that conversation start?
It's a good question. I think we were sitting in the training room, just kind of yucking it up. It was at the back end of my career. Like,
in a hot minute.
I was in the clubhouse already, sipping on a Coors Light when that conversation happened.
Mm. Well, you can take it to the bank. You had a great NFL career, and while the circumstances contributed to that, so did your level of play. And so does Associated Bank have great customer service, not just awards because they're nice and everyone likes them. They've earned them, like Tausch earned his opportunities in the NFL. They've got their J.D. Power Award that they just got for best retail banking customer service. They've got all great perks that come with your accounts, like early pay, where if you have direct deposit from your employer, you can get access to your money up to 2 days early. They've got some really fun TV commercials that are going on right now with those promotions as well. And, of course, Packers checking from Associated Bank. You can't go wrong with that. You get your Packers debit MasterCard. And more importantly, if you want to get that Jordan Love jersey or maybe the Mike Tauscher jersey that I just found on Goodwill, hey, you can save on that as well. Check out AssociatedBank.com to find out more about Packers checking and about all the great perks that come with being an Associated Bank member. We'll play a little Need It or Don't Need It, presented by Fleet Farm. Next, it's Will Deeds Tausch.
Like, share, and follow ESPN Madison everywhere. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok for more great content from ESPN Madison. This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Time to play a little Need It or Don't Need It, presented by Fleet Farm.
Need it? I guess you're just what I need. Or don't need it. Presented by Fleet Farm. Remember, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, then you don't need it. Fleet Farm, serving the Midwest since 1955.
Well, I got around to catching the full State of the Packers 2024 replay on Friday morning on
About time.
ESPN Wisconsin from Summerfest the Saturday before.
We never got to that last week.
Well, we're going to get to some of it right now, I suppose. Jason Wilde, Gabe Neitzel, Alex Strofe. Everything's still pertinent. You can give it a full listen. That's what I did on Wisconsin On Demand to get the full show podcast. Do the Packers need to come to a contract extension agreement with Jordan Love before training camp begins July 22nd?
Yes. Yeah, it's taken a lot of oxygen up this offseason, but it's really important, I think, stability-wise. They have their guy. They believe that he is their guy. Jordan believes he should be the starting quarterback for the G&G. And the one thing you can't do in this league is have a vacuum at quarterback. It leads to more and more dysfunction. And the other thing you can't do is try and go year to year to year with the guy that is your franchise quarterback. It doesn't work. It takes up too much cap. It's too big of an expenditure. And you want to have your quarterback feel like he's a partner in what you're doing. In order for that to be the case, July 22 needs to happen.
So I agree with you.
Good. Next.
Need it. Now, okay. Let me ask you a follow-up question. So if you're the Packers and David Mulugeta and Andrew Kessler stand firm on wanting more guarantees than the Packers are willing to give, then in order to get it done by the start of training camp, if you're Goody, do you tell Russ Ball, hey, just cave, give him what he wants?
No.
Let's get it done? No. So that's my, like, I don't want to be young Jason on the bus to Super Bowl 32 saying, I don't see any way the Packers don't get this deal done with Jordan Love before camp begins. Because I do see a way, and that would be it, right? Hey, we want more guarantees than Lawrence got. We want more guarantees than Jared Goff got. And if you're not going to give it to us, then we're not going to sign before the start of camp.
Yeah, that could happen. And I just think the Packers realize that Jordan Love will be at camp anyways. The Packers are going to, in my opinion, the Packers will win this battle. It won't be a knockout, but the Packers will get the structure they want, closer to the structure they want than Jordan's team. Jordan will get that average contract salary to be higher than anybody else's. That'll be a win for the Jordan Love team. But the Packers are going to win this battle because the Packers, again, I'm not getting into a leverage thing with anyone else. If Jordan Love wants to exert leverage, he doesn't show up at camp. Nobody here thinks that's going to happen. And if he wants to get every last penny of it guaranteed or as much of it as possible, he will have to play bully ball. And I don't think he's in a position to be a bully.
Next.
Need it or don't need it.
Next up, and Jason, I want you to go first on this one because I'm going to ask this question
Can I ask him a follow-up then?
You are more than welcome to. I would hope that you would. I'm going to frame this question.
Seems unlikely.
I'm going to frame this question. Not that Jason asserted that this should happen. He made that clear on the State of the Packers show.
Of course. He didn't want to put anything on the record.
But he presented the concept.
I'm not saying, but I'm saying.
Yeah, you didn't go that far.
That's your lane.
Need it or don't need it. Do the Packers need to trade Eric Stokes before the start of the season if it's determined that he is not a starter heading into this year?
No. All right. So I'm glad you listened.
Very interesting. Do you have the clip?
No.
Love to hear the clip.
Well, you had your chance to do the did you hear this from that? And we got sidetracked by many of your brilliant topics.
Yeah.
So we missed that window. I am not saying that the Packers need to trade him if he doesn't beat out Carrington Valentine to start opposite of Jaire Alexander. I'm not saying the Packers need to trade him. However, if you are Eric Stokes and you lose that competition as a former first-round pick who has also not gotten the fifth-year option, and you're in a contract year, perhaps you would like the fresh start that Tausch was talking about earlier for players. And perhaps the Packers would think, well, this guy's a former first-round pick. We can get ourselves a pick back. I don't know, maybe a fifth or something. We can parlay that into a third the way we did with Rasul Douglas at the end of the trade deadline. Like, I'm just saying that if he doesn't win the job, him being traded is at least a possibility. Look, I want him on the team if I'm the Packers because guys get hurt at that position all the time, including Jaire Alexander. So I don't want to trade any of my depth. My point during the state of the Packers was that that has to at least be considered a possibility, which I know is a very strong take for you, Tausch.
So do you want him traded or not?
I don't want him traded.
Well,
no.
What'd you bring it up for?
Because I was talking about possibilities.
Oh, you were projecting what might happen.
Possibilities.
Listen, Eric Stokes, if he is not a starter this year for the G&G, he's not going to be on the team next year. So are you going to get more value in what he'll sign for on another team if he's not starting for you this year? No. So he's either going to ball out and stay healthy, and you're going to want to extend him and keep him in Green Bay, or he's going to leave. And you're not going to get anything. So if you go through training camp and some of the preseason, and you think, he's not our guy, trade him. And if he is, I would think the one problem you're going to have is, A, you're not going to get anything for him. If he's not going to be a starter, you don't think he's any
costing
good.
$2.3 million this year.
So
he's cheap.
So, yeah, why are you bringing it up? He should be on the roster. He's going to be. But I'm saying if you're bringing this up as a trade, if he's not going to be on the team next
year,
and he's not going to play, what are you going to do? You're going to cut him.
Here's why I brought it up. No. They're not going to cut him. Because if Carrington Valentine wins that job opposite Jaire Alexander and they've got their nickel guy in Keyshawn Nixon, he is not a starter. But do we really believe that Carrington Valentine added weight during the offseason? He's bigger than he was last year, but he is not a huge dude. I would not want to go into the season saying, well, we don't need Eric Stokes anymore. We're going to trade him for a sixth-round pick. I would rather have him on the team. I don't care if he's even unhappy that he lost out on the starting job. He's got to get over that. I am not looking to trade him. That was the point I tried to make. But you would agree that a former first-round pick who gets beaten out by last year's seventh-round pick for the starting job opposite Jaire Alexander, trading him is a distinct possibility.
If he's
Which was
not
all gonna, I was saying.
Yeah, and I would think he would be the one that would
Yes!
go that route. Yeah. But just like you have, you know what's crazy? I have Eric Stokes trade fatigue. And it just happened within this segment. I am fatigued because it's a stupid. In fairness, I don't want to use the term dumb.
You just said stupid.
I
said
Wait,
stupid.
But during the fatigue, you said you would trade him if he didn't win the job.
I'm fatigued by this conversation. Eric Stokes is not going to be traded. He's going to be on the Green Bay Packers, and they hope that he's going to be healthy. All of the other stuff I'm fatigued by.
All right. All that's important here is that Matt LaFleur made it very clear that Eric Stokes is not the starter right now. That job is open. And not open in a everyone's got to compete type of way. It is Carrington Valentine versus Eric Stokes for the starting job opposite Jaire Alexander.
Wow. And it sounds like he likes Valentine better.
They're big on Valentine. And they don't know what Stokes is because of his injury issues. But my point
is...
you
might as well trade him.
Now I have fatigue of you. Next!
Need it or don't need it?
I was going to ask about Adam Stenovich, but I think I'll save that because I think that warrants more discussion than we have time for.
You sure it's going to be fatiguing?
Matt in West Bend texts in, the state of the Packers was great. Listen twice. Jason was more distracted than Tausch doing the show in front of a TV.
Yeah, you got... No, it was not my... It was not entirely my fault. Like, a drunk lady came up asking for directions. There was another couple that was wearing tie-dye shirts asking where some tie-dye stand was, which made me wonder if they hadn't already been there since they were wearing tie-dye. There's a lot of people coming up to the booth. It's distracting.
Why is it called tie-dye?
I don't know. I'll look that up during the
question. Need it or don't need it, Jason needs to stay home more than Tausch to limit distractions.
No. Jason needs to be out more.
No.
No,
I
you
don't
do.
Think it's good for the show.
No. No, Jason needs to get out more. I think it's good for his mental health.
I appreciate you looking out for my mental health. I do get out. Got down to Madison for a few days, which was great. I get out to Fleet Farm to go shopping. And right now, I'm here to tell you that Fleet Farm's annual Kids Fishing Day is this coming Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Bring your kids, or maybe an adult like me who doesn't even want to bait his own hook, to learn everything from how to properly use fishing gear to safety tips and much more. You can learn more about the event and find your store by visiting fleetfarm.com/events. Plus, you can get ready for your summer water adventures with Fleet Farm. They've got a huge selection of water towables for fun on the lake, or take it easy with a brand new kayak. Is kayaking easy? I feel like I wouldn't be very good.
No, it's not easy.
No, it's pretty easy.
Well,
I can do it.
I'll say this, like it's easier to make a penalty kick than it is to kayak.
It is harder
to play second base for the Mallards.
It is harder to get out of the kayak than it is to kayak.
Well, it's good to have your confidence back. Whatever summer adventure awaits, Fleet Farm has the gear to get you ready for your outdoor fun. Visit fleetfarm.com to find out more. The 11 o'clock hour, which is scheduled to include Christian Yelich, is coming up in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.